So we're up to Mishlei, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. I don't have any sheets tonight because of the conditions outside and my conditions at home. It was somewhat limiting, but I was able to prepare a little bit. So Mir Tashem will go through the Pasuk and we can talk together about what they might mean. So I had mentioned before Sukkot, when we started the third Perek, that there are some very interesting Pasukim that have become very popular for one reason or another, most prominently because they've become songs. And this is one of those instances. I don't know if people know the song. I think it's a Shweki song, but I have a tendency to think that everything's a Shweki song. Musar Hashem bini al timas. Musar Hashem bini al timas. Vi al takot b'sochachto. No?
It's on Amazon. I listen to
this word. Ki yes Hashem yeha. Okay, anyway. Musar Hashem Bini Altimas, the Musar, what do you think Musar means in this situation? Altimas. Timas means don't be disgusted by it. What does it mean? Musar Hashem Altimas. Don't be disgusted by Hashem's Musar. What's Musar?
Like correction.
Typically we understand it as like character building, constructive criticism, something like that. So it's actually it's interesting, depending on which parish you look at. So it could be understood as that, sort of constructive criticism, more specifically on a character level. But there are those, specifically Rashi, and I think I saw some in Tzuras David, that actually translated as Yisurin, like tragedies or difficulties, struggles, like Yisurin. How does it translate here in the Art Scroll edition? Do not despise Hashem's discipline. Okay, so they go more with the discipline act. But the point is that Hashem sometimes will be a little harsh, one way or another. And when that happens, don't be discouraged. The atakos besochachto, and don't be, I guess, startled, right? Lakutz, like I think Rashi brings up a pasuk, katzti bechayai. Who's that by? Katzi b'chayai chav zayin. It's got to be Yaakov, right? I forgot when that is. Katzi b'chayai. Here it says, do not be disgusted with his reproof. Okay? It says, the first one is despise. Okay? Timas is despise. Takots is disgusted. So you shouldn't be. Why shouldn't you be so discouraged by his constructive criticism? Because it's only those that Hashem loves that he provides criticism. Now this obviously is not literal. He does give criticism to others. But what I think the point is that Hashem gives reproof and gives tochacha to those that he knows can handle it. On the one, you can understand on one hand like that, meaning he tests those that he knows can pass the test, like Avram Avinu. And then on the other hand, you could understand it by saying that people that you love are often the ones that you have the most expectations of. Right? So for instance, if you see someone, littering on the ground in New York City, but you don't know them from a hole in the wall, it's like you won't really say, and you'd be upset, but you won't really like scold the person. If you see your child or your good friend or your spouse litter in New York City, it doesn't matter that you didn't reprove the other guy. You don't know that other guy. This is your friend. This is your husband. This is your child. You have expectations of them. You think highly of them. And because of those expectations, it's because you typically have this, loving relationship, you feel like you have that, clearance to tell them how to be better. And so that's what I think Shlomo Melech is saying here. Musar Hashem Altimas, don't be so discouraged. And it's specifically Bini Altimas, as we've seen many times. My child, don't be discouraged. Meaning that when Hashem is doing these things, whether it's Yisurin, difficulties, struggles, or whether it's actual constructive criticism, don't be so discouraged by them, because it's a sign in sort of a distant level of meaning. It's a sign that he loves you. Meaning not a direct level of meaning, because right now he's not sounding like he loves you. But ultimately, the reason that he's doing this is because he loves you.
Well, isn't there also the idea that we get Yisurin ba'olam hazeh in order that we can save our reward for olam haba?
Interesting, yeah. So the pasuk says, "Posech as yadechu masbiel chol chayraton." Right? Umasbiel chol chayraton. I once in Eretz Yisrael, so I was at Yeshiva HaKotel, and oftentimes I would stay in for Shabbos because not a social butterfly, believe it or not. And I would go to the Vasikin Minyan at the Kotel. Now, there are different Vasikin Minyans, obviously, but there's one specific one, which is always hard to find. You have to know the people that go to it, which is Rip Nevensal's Vasikin Minyan. Mm. And like, he's Rav Avigdor Nevensal. And like, you can never really see Rav Nevensal. He has like this quality of disappearance. Like, you can never find him. And like, it's hard to find the minion. Sometimes they're inside, sometimes they're outside. Either way, after the minion, everybody goes to Rav Nevensal's house, which is around the corner. And he stands there, opens the door for everybody. It's like an experience. And then he pours Kiddush for everybody, and he gives out Rugelach to everybody. And it's really, it's like in his living room, in his dining room, and everyone's just crowding around. And after he gives like a little Dvar Torah, so people ask whatever they want. And then he gives his classic Rav Nevensal quick answers, which are loaded with background that you have to figure out yourself. So in one of these exchanges, so someone asks, what does it mean? Or someone asks about really theodicy, right? The concept of good things happening to bad people, bad things happening to good people. And he says, that Hashem opens his hand, open your hand, / hands, and you satiate, you satisfy each person's will. Now, what does that mean? So Rav Nevensal explained that if you're a tzaddik, if you're someone who strives for the better things according to God's Torah, so what is your ratzon? Your ratzon is olam haba. Your ratzon is something larger than life, something more than what you're living in. So for those people, chol chai ratzon means he's saving it for you later on. But if you're someone who's not living in accordance to the Torah, and you're learning, you're living for the here and now, so maspil chol chai ratzon, Hashem's going to give you that. You're going to get what you want in this world. L'chol chai. Doesn't matter who you are. Tzadik, Russia. L'chol chai gets their ratzon. Now, obviously, theologically, we could ask all different types of questions, but that at least at a basic
that's
level.
An unusual understanding of
yeah.
The verse.
I thought it was very innovative, yeah. So that's in a similar way. So this is potentially maybe another way of understanding the pasuk according to how Leonard is saying it. Musar Hashem b'ni al timas, don't be so upset when Hashem is giving you these yisurin. Kiyas Hashem ayahav Hashem yochiach. Hashem is giving you these things now so that you'll be rewarded later. You could understand. I can see someone trying to understand it like that. Kiyas Hashem ayahav Hashem yochiach. Uchaav es haben es ben yirtze. And like a father to a child is wanted. So what does that mean? So, interestingly enough, we have a very antiquated understanding of this. I think it's in the Mitzudas David, but I'll hear it. And this, it says here, Ukemo ha'av asher yechavein b'haka'a l'ratos es b'no. And just like a father, his intention when he hits a child is in order lehitiv darko. It's in order to make sure that next time he'll do better. Velo linkom nakam. Right? He's not doing it because of revenge. He's not doing it because he's really angry at the child. Hopefully. He's doing it because next time the child will do better. Now, obviously, hitting is not something that we encourage, and it's not something that is really, nowadays, a very effective tool. But there are other instances of this where you have to, in one way or another, discipline the child or discipline a friend or a spouse or whatever it is. And hopefully, through that discipline, the message comes over, you know, that you're doing it for their betterment, not because you have some kind of nekama, some kind of revenge, chas v'shalom, that you're trying to mete out by this discipline. I mentioned a couple weeks ago a book that I read last week called The Power of the Other. I don't know if anyone's familiar with this book. I mentioned it in my drasha, not this past Shabbos, but on, when was that? Parshas Bereishis by Adam and Chava. It was by Noah. And The Power of the Other by Henry Cloud goes through four different kinds of relationships. There's the, and I don't know why he calls it the four corners, but there's the first corner, which is no relationships at all. right? A person who just doesn't have any connections, and therefore, and he talks about how that type of person is always looking for different types of connections to fill that void of relationships, and he can turn to drugs, he can turn to other addictions that will try to serve that sort of connectivity principle that he's lacking. Then he says, the second corner relationship is a relationship, but it's a bad relationship. And oftentimes, one will lead to two, because the one relationship where they're missing something, oftentimes, well, I'll get a relationship wherever I can get it, right? As Rav Dessler talks about how everyone needs a relationship, which is why even people who don't have children or whose children move out of the house oftentimes get pets, because people need relationships. They need people to relate to, or things to relate to, something to interact with. I have a weird, I guess, I wouldn't call it a vice, but, you know, a weird interest in people that, they have like these videos of people who go out into the middle of nowhere and build these small little homes that are off the grid and that are self-sustaining. I just find it very, like, fascinating and intriguing how people do that. First of all the technicalities of it, my architecture background and things like that, but also how they could live by themselves. It's crazy to me that people can live by themselves.
People that are happy that way. There were the movies in the 60s about the guy who went out to the complete wilderness and videotaped himself some of the times. He was completely by himself.
Yeah.
He built everything by himself.
Yeah, I don't
and
people
he has one
can...
person airdrop him things once a month. And he's okay. As happy as can be.
Yeah, okay.
Not
perpetually. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean
they're rare.
Yeah. I mean, he did often do things by himself, but he wasn't alone, right? He lived in a very populated area and everything.
Some people need a lot of interaction. So
yeah.
When I was working, I had a leadership role, and they were separating us to tell us not to interact with each other. Some people couldn't handle it.
Right.
Where I was like, thank God, I'm getting all this work
done. Yeah.
But no, those people, they couldn't function.
Yeah.
They were
suffering. Yeah, in the short term, it could be very therapeutic, but in the long term, it's very difficult for people. But so that's the second corner relationship where people who don't have relationships will look to any kind of relationship, even if it's a negative one, as an outlet to have connections to people. Then you have your third corner. Your third corner is a positive relationship, but only really on the surface level. Someone who gives you compliments, someone who always tells you you're doing okay, someone who is not willing to give you any criticism and actually build you up. In Kansas City, we had a term for this, which was called Kansas Nice. Everybody in Kansas is nice. The question is just, are they really nice, or are they just
nice.
Pretending to be nice?
Yes, nice people.
Yeah.
It was the British.
The British have that too?
Unfailingly polite.
Yeah. So that's the third corner, where it's a positive relationship, but it's not really a strong relationship, because it's always good. Everything's always good. And then you have the fourth corner relationship, which is sort of like the corner four relationship in Henry Cloud's presentation, is the ultimate type of relationship where there is sort of this deep-seated investment and commitment to each other where it doesn't matter what happens, good or bad, the person will be there for you to tell you you have to do better or to tell you that we can, you know, that you're doing great, whatever it is, that person, and that's the type of deep connection that we're all striving, we're really striving for ultimately. What?
An Azer Connecto,
yeah. And that's what I think of when I think of this pasuk. Right. If I would have made source sheets, I would have given you some quotes about this. But ki es asher yehav Hashem yochiach, that it's that who Hashem loves that He gives rebuke, right? Because if you truly love someone, then you're able to actually disagree with him. Was it in this class that I talked about Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish?
I don't remember.
I think it might have been last week in the Rabbeinu Yonah class. The Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, when they had a chavrusa, every single topic, 24 questions back and forth.
Yes.
They were always arguing with each other. But that's the point. That's the point of a loving relationship is one where you can disagree and it strengthens your relationship but doesn't hinder it. Obviously, it depends what the point of the argument or the ridicule is. As the Mesudas Dava just said, Ucha'av, as Ben Yirtzeh, that the kavana of the discipline, the intention of discipline, is to make them do better. And if the other person knows that that's what you're trying to do, so then it bolsters the relationship. It doesn't hinder the relationship. It actually just helps. And that's the corner four relationship that Henry Cloud talks about in the power of the other. And then the Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ashrei Adam Matzah Chachma. Now, this is always, I found it interesting when I read the pasuk, because it sounds almost passive, right? Praiseworthy is the person that finds wisdom. All the Mefarshim don't understand it like that. Almost all the Mefarshim basically say, oh, here, I didn't have this book, so I didn't come in tonight, as I said before, because of my limitations. Here it says in the footnote here, quoting from the Vilna Gaon, the verse employs the verb found, meaning the past tense or the passive tense, because a person cannot adequately deduce Chachma through his own reasoning. He must hear it from his teacher or find it in sacred books. Okay, there's always a limitation to our own capacity to understand what Hashem wants from us, right? We can, and we talked about this last week with the pasuk of early on, pasuk Hey Betach Hashem Chol Becha Ve'El Binascha Al Tishayin. Don't rely on your own intellect to understand everything about Hashem. And we quoted the Mishnah in Avos that tells you you always have to go to the Beis Medrash either because of camaraderie or because you don't understand things secondhand, whatever it is. So here too, it's saying, according to the Vilna Gaon, Ashri Adam Matza Chachma, that praiseworthy the person that finds it, meaning he didn't seek it out, understand it, and come to the conclusions about Hashem on his own, but through other people's help. The Adam, and then the last part of the pasuk, the Adam Yafik Tivuna, and a person will, how does it say here? And a person will bring out wisdom, a person who gives forth understanding from it. Yeah, there's a syntax issue with the pasuk. But the Adam Yafik Tivuna means that a person, when he is able to inculcate this wisdom, whatever it is, wherever he found it, the fact that he can then give it over is what's important. And we talked about a few months ago, the importance of teaching is really not only an endeavor in terms of making sure other people know things, but it's also in order for you to make sure that you know things. Because the greatest way to learn is to teach. Because only once you can teach do you really understand what you're talking about. So that's another reference to that concept here. Va'adam yafik tvuna. And someone will give over wisdom or understanding once they give it over. Right? Adam yafik tvuna. When they're able to give it out, so that would be understanding. What does it say here? Rashi explains, it gives forth understanding. A person who has become so fluent in Chachma that expresses it verbally. So this is actually interesting. There's clearly a difference in the literal understanding. If we're going to analyze the words, as we oftentimes do in this class, Ashri Adam Matza Chachma, V'Adam Yafik Tvuna. Right? Praiseworthy is the man, if you sort of use the tool of parallel phrasing and understand it a little better. Praiseworthy is the person who finds Chachma. What is finding Chachma? That's internalizing, right? And what do you internalize? You internalize the wisdom. And praiseworthy is the Adam Yafik Tvuna.
Ashri means praiseworthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fortunate. That it meant fortunate.
But same thing, yeah. Osher is
happy.
Osher could be happy, but it's more like
happy or
treasure.
Yeah, let's see. How's it translated here? Here it's praiseworthy. Yeah, I'm sure it could also be fortunate in some ways.
Yeah.
I think Ashrei Yoshevei Beis Hachta is more about being praiseworthy as the person that makes themselves sit in the Beis Medrash, not. You're just fortunate that you sit in the basement. I don't know. Here it translates it as praiseworthy in the art scroll, but.
So like, how is this related to Ezehu Chacha Mishalomeid Mikol Adam?
Well, we just got done saying that. That it says, Ashri Adam Matzah Chachma, the Vilna Gaon explains that pasuk to mean that you learned it from somebody else. What does it mean? Praiseworthy is a person that found wisdom. How do you find wisdom? You learn wisdom. So says the Vilna Gaon, it's because you found it somewhere else.
No, I would think if there was a dump cup sitting there, but I'm so smart that even from the dump cup's meager words, I can learn something from that.
Yeah, that too. Matzah Chachma, you can find things everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
People wouldn't.
Right. It doesn't restrict in the puzzle. It doesn't restrict where you find it. It just says, "Praiseworthy is the person that can find it."
So there's a statement.
statement somewhere, Yagatava Matsata.
Mm-hmm. The Gemara talks about that, yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, if you didn't look, if you didn't look for it, you didn't find it. So you had to do the work first. Therefore...
Right, so 2 weeks ago we talked about that Mishnah in Avos, which talks about that better to be Golo L'makom Torah than to be, you know, sit by yourself in your own house. So that's the Yigia. You have to go to the Beis Medrash. You have to seek out the rabbi. You have to seek out the class or the safe, nowadays, the Sfarim, and you have to find it yourself. So there is an element of doing the work, and then there's also the element of passivity, because when I pick up a book off the shelf, I'm not the one that's deriving all the lessons from the Pasuk, but I'm the one that picked up the book to see what other people derive from. So it's a bit of a give and take. But va'adam yafik tivuna, so some explain, and I think it was the Mitzuna Sion. I'm just trying to find it here. The Ashi le'adam yimotzei esatvuna min ha'chachma rotzer lomer mevin davar mitoch davar. So Mitzvah David explains that what is Tivuna versus Chachma? We've talked about this before way back when, in the beginning of Mishlei, that Chachma is sort of like the raw material, right? It's like you intake all the information, right? It's all the bites of information that you put into your brain, and then through your own intellectual capacity, you sort of churn it out and understand things within it, right? So there's a different level of Havana, and that's where the word lahavin, to understand, not just to know, but to understand. So that's the difference between a chachma and tivuna in this situation is the person that finds wisdom. You sort of like, you found a book, right? You found a textbook that's going to give you information. But now it's up to you to actually process it, to comprehend it. And the way that you can know that you've comprehended it enough is when you can give it out, as you said before. So that's the difference between chachma and tivuna. And that's, you know, the acronym of Chabad, right?
Yeah.
Chachma,
yeah.
Bina, and then Das. What is Das? It's some kind of elevated understanding that combines everything. I don't know.
You could generate new things from it. Das, Bina is to be able to internalize and give it to others. And then Das, Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma, Bina, and Das is to take it a level further. And
right, yeah. Come it's up just with in like an added level where you can
understand that word,
basically you can create your own wisdom afterwards or something like that.
I was just thinking about Shlomo HaMelech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's the wisest of all people.
Right. Yeah.
What does it mean, wisest? When he was 1 year old, 2 years old, he probably didn't know too much Torah and too much science. And
well,
whatever.
The Navi tells us that Hashem gave it to him.
He may have had the capability. Does life mean he had the capability of learning almost anything he wanted to learn? And then he took advantage of it and did it?
He asked for it.
Yeah, at least the dialogue between him and Hashem in the Navi is talking about that Hashem gave him wisdom, which seemed like sort of like,
the
it was like a download.
Learning or the actual
learning? No, the wisdom itself.
Ah.
That's what it sounds like from the Navi. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while.
How old was he when he asked? Was he 12?
I don't remember, but I think he was already the king, no?
He was king at 12.
He was already.
Right.
So
it's another one because, you know, his wisdom presumably included breadth of knowledge, and it also included good insight.
From the stories, yeah.
The famous case. The baby. But he also made some really stupid decisions.
Right, so we talked about that last week when we talked about the pasuk that says, "Al binascha al tishayin." Shlomo Melech is a living example of his own advice. To your own wisdom or to your own knowledge, do not depend. Because you might look at the pasuk that says lo sar b'lo nashim, don't have too many wives, and you think, oh, that's not for me. I can cover it. I know I'm better than that. And then with the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about how he was too haughty in that respect. Yeah, Viva.
Then there's Haskel. Where
does that fit? Oh, what's the difference between Haskel and Lahavin? I don't know.
People always colloquially say seichel is good sense.
Common sense. Street smarts. I don't know. I don't know what the difference is.
The things we shouldn't have to teach you.
Have we seen seichel in Mishle yet? I don't remember it.
Seichel Tov comes up all the time.
I think we did, but in a different way. It wasn't like an explicit.
Seichel Tov, seichel Sam. Where does that pasuk come from?
What? Seichel Sam. That's a different seichel.
Yeah. It's a different seichel? Where does that pasuk come from?
Sichel Oseim Oseilich.
I forget. Reshit Chachmah.
Sichel Tov L'Chol Oseim. Oh yeah, that's from the beginning. Yeah.
So where is that?
Reshit Chachmah Yiras Hashem is the beginning of Mishlei.
Okay.
Was that the end? Yeah, we said, well, right, that's what it was. It was Musar Haskel, is what we had at the beginning of Mishlei. So it wasn't exactly like Seichel, like using Seichel, but it was Musar Haskel, like Musar which has Seichel within it, sort of thing, like discipline that has. But where is that Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem? Yiras Hashem Reishis Das, that's what it was at the beginning of Mishlei. I don't know if Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem is in Mishlei. I don't remember. It's been 4 or 5 months. I was just looking at some of the, I was just looking at our list of classes on YU Torah. And I saw that Pshiska and the Parsha, they group them all together for you. I don't know if it's automatic or if they do it manually, but I uploaded last Thursday the Pshiska and the Parsha. And it said 16 out of 16. And there's a drop down. I had 16 classes. How do we do that? I have not been here for that long. Apparently we have. It's been a fifth month already. So Baruch Hashem, I don't remember. I mean, Baruch Hashem. Shouldn't be Baruch Hashem, but Baruch Hashem, we've been here, you know, been learning for a while. But because of that, I don't remember everything.
We heard very forcefully about Reishit Chachma Yiras Hashem Seichel Tov L'Chol Oseim from Dennis Prager a week ago. So.
Oh, boy.
You were there?
No, I wanted to be. I got a mouthful from Kobe for not being there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't even
know if
the can take the
ZMA,
but he gave a speech.
He was talking about his biblical commentary.
I got his Shmos commentary on the.
And what? He did a.
You wrote a whole commentary on the Bible.
Yeah, a book.
He did Shmos.
No, he did write Shmos.
Basically, what he said.
I've been reading this Shmos.
Basically,
little by
he
little.
Said that, you know, leaders today have no moral grounding and they have. No good proper sense, and the fact is that they've lost track of the fact that morality comes from God. Mm-hmm. He quoted that passage. Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, interesting.
The word psychology and seichel seems to start with,
I don't know.
Is there with a Latin? So
it doesn't seem like it, but it's an interesting point.
Have you heard an earful from Kobe? Errors for not going?
No, I just spoke to him recently. And
so
he
you should
like,
give him an earful for not coming here. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is
I told him
we
have to be in touch, yeah.
He lives in this neighborhood.
Really?
You should have him here.
Okay. Let's see. But then the pasuk says, Ki tov sachra mischar kasef. Because good is its commerce. How does it say it here? Kitov Sakhra. No, but it's a verb. For its commerce is better than the commerce of silver. Kitov Sakhra, like the Sakhira of Torah, is greater than the Sakhira of Kasaf. What's interesting here is that it's not saying, as we say on Shabbos morning, Tovli Torah Spicha Me'afizal V'Chasaf. It's not saying that Torah is greater, because that's obvious. But it's what it's saying is that the Sakhira of Torah, what does that mean, the Sechira of Torah? The acquisition of it, how to get it, is better than how to get money. Says Rashi, Kol chalufin she'adam machlif b'schor zeh, notal zeh, notal zeh. Aval ha'omer l'chaveiro, shana li pirkecha, v'ani eshne l'cha pirki, nimtzu shneim b'yad kol echad v'echad. This is actually a beautiful point. That, actually, of course, is a beautiful point. Rashi said it. But when you go to a marketplace, so Let's trade. I've got money. You've got this beautiful, candelabra. So here's my money. I get your candelabra. Good. We've bartered. Now you have my money and I have your candelabra. Neither of us have both. But when you and I have a chavrusa together and we teach and we learn together, we both end up with both of our ideas. Right? The pursuit of intellectual schora, of intellectual capital, is much greater than that of financial capital. Kitov sachra mischar kasav ume charutz tivu asa. And greater is its produce than, I think Rashi says this is gold. Charutz min zahavhu. Here it says fine gold. whatever that means. Okay. And the produce, so that's first of all, the pursuit of it, the pursuit of it is greater, and then the produce is greater also. It's not just you have a good time getting it, and then the end result is no good. No, but they're both better, right? And that's the same as Tov V'Torah Spichel Me'al V'Zav V'Chesed. That first is the acquisition or the pursuit, and then even afterwards, the conclusion is also better. So Mitzvah David connects it to what we said right before that. So Ashri Adam Matzah Chachma, that praiseworthy the person that found wisdom, for Adam Yafik Tuna that can give it over. So he's saying that those two things are the same things that we're now talking about in the past. Ashri Adam Matzah Chachma, the person that found wisdom, that's the pursuit. How did you find it? Right? We talked a few classes back about how to go about looking for wisdom. We gave the example, I think, of Rabbeinu Yonah, of digging up an entire backyard to find that $1 million check, right? How passionate you'll be when you know there's $1 million sitting somewhere in your backyard. How exuberant you will be when you start digging, right? Even though it's a work and you have to really put a lot of effort into it, that's an enjoyable pursuit. So same thing here. Ashri Adam Matzah Chachma, praiseworthy is the person that can find wisdom. That's the kitov sachra mischar kasef. That's the commerce. That's the give and take, the effort that you put in to find the Torah. And then va'adam yafik tivuna, and the person that could give it over means that they understand it well. Mecharutz tivuata, that's the produce. The produce is that you're able to understand it well, at least according to Rashi's understanding of the pasuk before. Adam yafik tivuna means that they know it so well that it's so clear that they can understand it, that their understanding is so clear that they can then give it over afterwards. Yekarahim ipniyim. So apparently it's pronounced mipninim, not mipniyim. V'chol chavetzach lo yishvuva. I was wondering when I read it if this had any Hasidic type from the pasuk. Let me see. You know I like that Hasidus. The more person in the world, the Chavetz Chaim explains with the parable the larger pearl. So it says yekarahim ipniyim. Pninim are like pearls. So Chavetz Chaim says, the larger a pearl, the greater its value. A very large pearl may be worth 10 or 20 times more than the pearl half of its size, right? Because it accrues exponentially.
Same thing for diamonds.
Right, same thing. The same principle applies to the study of Torah. If a person toils and masters one chapter of Torah, and his friend toils longer and masters two chapters, the latter's achievement is incomparably greater. It's not just double, it's exponentially greater. Should someone exert great effort and master three chapters, his level will far surpass those of the other sages interpreted homiletically. The word mipninim refers to lifnai v'lifnim, the Kodesh HaKadashim. Thus, the merit of the Torah scholar, even if he is of illegitimate birth. Oh, it's Horios 13a. Horios is talking about who comes first, a Kohen Gadol or a Mamzer Talmud Chacham, in the level of kibud. So here it's saying, is even greater than that of an unlearned Kohen Gadol who enters the inner chamber on Yom Kippur. Right? What the beginning of the pasuk is, Yekarahi mipninim. Even greater than those that go lifnai v'lifnim. Right? Even greater than those that go inside. I remember one time I was speaking of the Kotel. So I was once at the Kotel catching a minion. It was a Monday, Thursday. So the Gabbai goes, is anyone a Kohen? And then someone in the back goes, is anyone a Mamzer Talmud Chacham? It was just funny, because like that's true, but like you wouldn't make that announcement. Either way. So that's that Gemara. The Gemara comes from here. No. But that's this Gemara. That Yikarahi Mipninim, or Mipniim, the Lifnai Mulim, V'chol Chafasech Lo Yishvuva. And all of its desires, how do you translate this? In the art scroll it says, and all of your desires cannot compare to it. Okay? A person tries to acquire something because it's valuable because he needs it, such as food. A person should strive to acquire Torah for both reasons. It is more valuable than pearls, and it's more necessary than anything else. Torah is life. And what can be more vital than life? Okay.
Why is being a Talmud Chacham such a great deal? If I study in order to learn Torah, fine, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But suppose I just love learning ancient literature.
Okay.
And I found these books, and boy, I study Aramaic, and I just want to learn.
Right.
So not for
Torah purposes.
Right, I get it. There are many aspects of Torah itself that go beyond just intellectual capacity that you fulfill or that you develop. So, of course, in terms of the psychology or the physiology, whatever it happens to the brain, both of those things can be accomplished through either one, right? So the added benefit of Torah, first of all, is Hashem said so, right? Second of all, it's because we believe that there is a spiritual component which goes beyond just the physical benefits, right? So, just schar v'onesh type stuff. And then we also believe, thirdly, that there is an added intelligence within the Torah which is not found in anything else.
So that's some Holocaust survivors who became atheists, agnostic,
yeah.
But they still love learning Gemara. They'd sit on Shabbos with a cigarette dangling from their mouth, watching Torah and studying Gemara.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Do they get the same schar?
Well, it depends what you're referring to. Are you talking about the schar? So probably not. Are you talking about the intellectual development? Maybe. I couldn't tell you one way or another.
I'm supposed to learn.
A Talmud Chacham, by definition, has to have certain mitnito.
Yeah.
And certain. Ah. So that's, I think, the piece that's missing. It's like,
No one would call that person a Talmud Chacham.
Correct.
A walking sefer Torah. Right.
Talmud Chacham, who was a...
What?
A mamzer.
Mamzer. That's not about what he does. That's about where he came from.
Can't help being a mamzer.
You have to be very careful judging people. There are those.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a common type. This is a rare type.
Yeah.
There are people who truly love studying Torah.
Right.
Torah, sure. In a broad sense. And it's not just, sometimes I study math and sometimes I study...
Right.
Modern poetry and some, they truly love studying Torah. They even sacrifice enormously to study Torah, and they're not religious.
Sure. Not religious.
A famous case of that was Gershom Scholem.
Mm-hmm.
Gershom Scholem fought his parents, who hated the fact that he was a very assimilated German family.
Mm-hmm.
He sacrificed everything. He was cut off from his parents to go move to Israel to be a completely secular scholar.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. You can be scholarly.
Well,
and you can even you might even get schar for that. I'm not one to talk about Hashem's point system. But there's obviously something missing, right? Mm-hmm. There's still elements
obviously
that are missing.
There's something missing, yeah. But there's something there.
Yeah.
There's
I would think so.
Terribly missing, but there's also something there.
Right.
Can we assume he had a very high level of neshama and his body was moving?
I don't assume anything like that. Ever. But anyway.
Part of
good or bad.
Torah topics is to get closer to Hashem.
Right.
We're learning to do, but we're also learning to understand.
Yeah.
You can't get closer to Hashem if you don't know what he wants and what he desires and what he intends.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
If we're going, you can learn the same thing for a different reason, like it was a math book, and you're not going to pick that up.
Yeah.
But they talk about Talmud Torah lishma or lo lishma.
Mm-hmm.
You learn Talmud Torah in order to do the mitzvahs properly,
mm-hmm.
or you learn Talmud Torah just, it's fun.
I study astronomy.
No, there's a great machlokas about whether or not lishma means because you love Torah or it's because you want to do it for Hashem. So I wouldn't necessarily go down that road in terms of like Torah for the Torah's sake. It's really Torah for Hashem's sake. It's machlokas whether or not lishma for the sake of it or for the sake of him.
It's not more of a purpose.
It could be. It depends how you understand.
About doing the part, when they're doing a korban, they have to have that korban in mind. They're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. That lishma is a different kind of lishma. Learning Torah lishma is a different type of thing.
We say the bracha every day. We're saying it lishma.
It could be both. It could be either. It could be both. It could be. Yeah, it's machlokas though. It's not clear.
There's a version of the bracha that leaves out lishma just.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
David said that there's a version of the bracha that doesn't have the word lishma in it, which takes away the problem of what the hafkavanah. Because learning Torah is a mitzvah, just like when you pick up a lulav, you get a mitzvah regardless of what your intention is.
Learning itself is for its not because we're not learning it for any honor, we're learning it because God wants us to learn it.
True, but if you learn Torah, shalom lishma, you still get a mitzvah of learning Torah.
Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be looking for a mitzvah.
That's true too. That's true too.
It's for its own sake. God wants us to do it. We're doing it, and we're mm-hmm. like a servant doing it. We're not for its own sake, and not because we're going to get there's any reward for it.
Yeah. Or any. No, that's the correct perspective. That's what it's referring to, but it's not integral to the bracha as well. So. Yeah, Viva.
I guess everything everybody said was sort of incorporated, but when we say Tam Chacham, I think the implication is someone who knows Torah
mm-hmm.
and uses it, applies it to his life.
Right.
Hey.
I would assume so.
That they walk the talk, they talk the walk, they do. They're consistent in and out throughout in what they say and do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I try not to get hooked on, like, how to define terms as much as how to define what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's called a Talmid Chacham? I'm not sure, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. These are things you have to do. You can call them whatever you want. I don't know. But let's see, what are we up to here? Oh, it's already 9:00. So, next week, I guess, as an introduction, we have some very well-known psukim coming up next week. Orech yom b'mino b'smalo sherechavod, right? Whatever that means. That the length of days is in your right, and in your left is honor and wealth. And then we have the next pasuk, Diracheha darcheinam mechonasiv asher shalom. That all of its ways are pleasant and all of its paths are peaceful. And then the last pasuk before the break, Eitz Chaim Hilamach Hazikim Ba V'Simchel Mushar, right? As we sing on Shabbos morning, right? The Torah is a tree of life for those who hold on to it. Okay, a lot of interesting nuances in these pesukim. V'Simchel Mushar, and those who uphold it are Mushar. How would you translate Mushar? Fortunate. How does it say it over here? Praiseworthy. So yeah, Meushar here talks is probably most relevant, most appropriately referred to as praiseworthy in this situation, because Meushar, either way, it could be either one. But we'll hopefully go through that next week, and we'll see what these.
So came around,
right? Yeah, right. That eighth time he comes first. I wonder why that would be. I don't know. We'll see if I can find. Within the understanding of the psukim, a reason why it would be relevant to do that. But either way, you'll join us next week for those three famous psukim to figure out what they mean, to understand their depths. Okay, everyone should be well, be safe.